Well, as you've already started together, we're talking a bit about faith today. And faith is I think, a very slippery word, a very complicated word. Even in the New Testament, there are three words that are translated faith is belief, trust, and faith. Okay? Underneath that, Paul uses the word boasting or confidence. And so straight away, you get this idea of dynamics of the word faith. You got one section, Paul says, we are justified by faith alone. And then James says, we're not justified by faith alone. It's just, okay, what is this thing, faith, right? So it's, in one sense, it's a very slippery word, both because of our imagination and because of also the nature of the word, but also because society has played games with the word faith. Like you hear terms like this today, that is a woman or a man of faith. What does that mean? Or you hear statements like, you just have to have faith. No one really knows what it means, but it sounds cool. As someone once said to me only a couple of months ago, it was your faith that helped you to get through cancer. I thought, was it my faith that helped me get through? Not really. Had I thought about it, I might have said, no, God was the one who was helped me get through, not my faith. And even again, a couple of days ago, I was talking to a man about, he asked what I do for a crust. And I told him I'm a minister. Normally that silences the conversation. But this time he said, oh, that's good. You have to keep people positive. It's like faith is a form of cognitive therapy, I think, to keep you positive. Another self-help program to keep you at the center of the universe. I think that's what they mean by faith. So what is the real meaning of faith? Well, again, it's difficult because faith is generic, right? Everybody has faith. You have faith in the chair you're sitting on, okay? It's a generic secular word. It's a part of everything we do. Every relationship is built on faith or trust of the other person. So it's a generic thing, right? The atheist actually has faith. His faith or trust or belief is in the scientific method. Okay, so it's nothing, and it's generic. When I get up in the morning and I've got to go to the car, I trust that my Toyota will turn over and start. If you've got a Ford, you have less faith. No, you have to have more faith. You're like going to really be convinced, haven't you? So faith is a generic word. And even faith can be wrong. I believe the Bulldogs will win the NRL this year. No? Maybe? No. Yes, says Caitlin. No. Okay, so faith can be wrong. So the idea of faith we're talking about today comes in the context of us talking about in this fourth sermon in the series Reformation is faith, we are justified through faith alone. So if you haven't been here for the previous four sermons, we're looking at the Reformation, which happened 500 years ago. Something changed in the history of the church. The Roman church had gone really corrupt. Martin Luther, some other reformers came along and put together theology that was based on the Bible, not based on other things. And one of the things that catapulted the Reformation was the rediscovery of justification by faith. Okay, so there's five, what's called solas. That our justification, us being, so sorry, go back a step. The question behind the Reformation, the question that was being answered by the Reformation was this: how does a sinner get right with a holy God? That's the question, okay? It's the same question we have to answer. How does a sinner get right with a holy God? And so we said, firstly, it's for God's glory alone. God provides everything for our salvation. We said the way we came to understand, we get the answer to this question is through Scripture. So the Roman Catholic Church said, the way you're made right with God, you ask the Pope, you ask the Church Fathers, and you ask Scripture. I say, no, it's only through Scripture. Last week, Tony answered the question, how do we get right with God? Is by Christ alone. That Christ alone is the perfect substitute for us. And this week, and these all come together, and I think this is the most difficult one out of all of them. How are we made right with God? How does a sinner become right with God? That sinner is justified by faith alone. Okay? Justified by faith alone. I'll read one verse which we're going to sort of catapult out of. It's Romans chapter 3, verse 28. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. So he says, he's making this comparison. In the context of comparison, you've got Jews and Gentiles. Gentiles don't have the law of God. Jews do. So people say, oh, Jews are justified with God through the law. Gentiles, well, we don't know. Paul says, no. Go back to Abraham. He's a Gentile. It's always been by faith alone. Always. That's the argument. But let's all break it down a little bit now. Justification. Who's heard of the word justification? Or who understands the word justification? Not many. Okay. Problematic, isn't it? Okay. Justification is a legal or forensic word. It has to do with the law. It has to do with court. Okay. You go to court. There's a charge against you. You can be declared innocent or justified, or it's justification. Okay. You are set free. You go to the same court, and if you're declared guilty, you are unjust, you suffer punishment. And behind all this is the idea that one day, God the judge will stand you before himself, and he will ask you, and you'll give an account for your life before him. Okay? It has to do with God's final judgment on a rebellious humanity. Each of us will stand before God, and God will say, you are justified, righteous, or you are unrighteous, condemned. That's it. There's only two ways, okay? For us to really grasp hold of this better and really believe it, understand it, I'll break down why God does that, okay? There is only one ruler of the world because there's only one source of creation. There's only one source of life. There's only one ruler. There's only one place in which everything exists, and it is from God. God speaks and it happens. Therefore, God is the sole owner of everything and God is the sole ruler of everything. It's not you, it's not me, it's God. And God, when he created the world, has laws. And inbuilt into those laws are the way humanity is supposed to operate. When we make a decision to contradict God's law, not only are we lawbreakers, we're actually rebels. Because when you break God's law, you're saying, I've got a better law. I've got my own kingdom. This is the kingdom of my law. This is a soldatus kingdom. And I have my soldatus laws. Okay? We all do that. So sin is not just a matter of breaking the law. Sin is a matter of setting up a kingdom that is contrary to God's kingdom. And so you set yourself up as treasonous. And God says, I will judge you for your treason. Now, it's God's nature to be just. He is light. There is no darkness in him at all. So if he's to see sin and walk away from it, that would make him an unjudged judge. I'll give you this example. I'm sorry if I used this example before. I'm in my early 20s. It's before God worked in my life drastically. I was a long night out, it was 4 a.m, and I'm driving home. You know, anyone knows Castle Hill Showground Road, anyone? Long strip down the hill, yeah, 140 k's, poof, straight down there, right? Blue lights, poof, poof, in the back. Okay, pull over. He says, why are you speeding? I said, I'm trying to get home and have a sleep. I've got 2 hours before I go to work. Let's be honest with him. And he said to me, well, you better go then. Beauty. Okay. I appreciate the gesture. It was fantastic. It was a bit of grace. But truth is, he's a corrupt cop. He took the law into his own hands. Rather than serving justice, he did his own thing. God is not like that. Okay. He doesn't just forgive and break his own laws. He's committed to his own justice because it's part of his very nature and he cannot contradict himself. So when it comes to the idea that God judges, he will. And we will all give an account to him, all in HD, every thought, every action, everything left undone, every feeling that is not accord with God's law, that will be assessed by God and judged. If you find that a struggle, you've got to understand that every part of our world is based on justice. Everything we do is based on justice. The fact that you get paid the way that you do, and the fact that, you know, we want to get people back for doing wrong things to us, we're all based on justice. We must not think that we can deny God his justice as well. And that's why we need each of us to understand, how does a sinner like you and I be right or just with a holy God? And what we read here this morning, it is by faith alone. You cannot be right with God through good works. You cannot be right with God through the sacraments. You cannot do it through prayers or temples. You cannot do it for being a Jew. During the Reformation, the Roman Church said that the only way you can be justified is if you be baptized in the church and the Spirit of God will break your hard heart so you might be able to be justified. And then, of course, you must do an amount of good works to merit your way to heaven. And you must take the sacrament to infuse God's grace into you. And then maybe you might be right with God. It's not what the scriptures tell us. Far from it. The scriptures tell us that Christ's sacrifice is sufficient. That God is so, so gracious and such a perfect Father that he says, this is the Messiah, my son. He will atone for your sins. Will you accept him for you? God says, all I ask you is this. Will you trust me with your justification? Will you trust me with your salvation? All you need to do, trust what God says, believe what God says, have faith in what God says, have confidence in what God says about the place of Jesus at the cross for you. That is all God is asking of the world from the beginning until now. Trust what I say. And humanity fails to do so. From Adam and Eve, who failed to trust one command to us today. But if you believe this thing, then God gives you what's called assurance. To be sure that God has made a pronouncement in the heavenly courts, when you believe in Jesus as the only way of salvation for your justification, God makes a pronouncement in the heavenly courts and he won't change his mind. You are justified. You're done. You were a sinner, now you're a saint. Not by works, but by God's declaration. So you can go to court and say, I'm innocent. It means zero. But if the judge says you're innocent, you're justified. It sticks. Many Christians struggle with this last section, assurance. So yeah, I know that Jesus died for my sins, but then something happens. We start looking internally at ourselves and we start to, I don't know, get caught up. We say, I know that I sin. In fact, it's ever present. Do I need to confess every sin that happens, otherwise I'm not forgiven? Is that what I'm supposed to do now? And then you start to realize, hold on, I'm a bit of a failure. I fail God. I fail to love friends and family. I say to myself, if they really knew what I was like, would they love me? Would they? Our conscience keeps gripping us and causing me moral failure, whether it's anger, jealousy, envy, sexual immorality, drunkenness, whatever it might be. And the conscience saying you're a failure. And you go, you know what? Absolutely. And then you look a little bit deeper. And you soon realize that I say I love God, but I don't. God says he loves me. I say, well, my response is pretty cold, flawed, detached. And the conscience says to you, am I really a Christian? And there's times when I'll say to God, why did you do that in this world? As if somehow God is accountable to me. Then I begin to question his character. Can I really trust this God? Did he really come to us in Jesus? Did he really do miracles? Why does he do them now? Did he really come back from the dead? And then you find yourself saying, I'm a moral failure. I'm arrogant. I think I know better than God. I see it and I enjoy it. I think I love Jesus, but his name gives me the cringes sometimes. That is the natural self. We can hear, I'm forgiven, yet the conscience still grabs hold of me and tells me how terrible I am, and it's all true. And this eats away what we call assurance, that I am actually truly justified. I think we all make this problem. This is the problem I think we have, that we think that forgiveness is the same as justification. As Christians, we talk about forgiveness a lot, but we don't talk about justification very much. And I think they're the two sides of the same coin, but they are different. Put it this way, you go to court the first time, and as a Christian, you go to God, say, and God says, you're forgiven. Christ died for your sins. You go, hallelujah. And you walk out saying, I'm forgiven. But again, it's not too long before you go, I've messed up again. I've stuffed up again. And I start to lose my forgiveness, if you like. This is where justification comes in. It's not just the forgiveness of sins. That's one side of it. The other side is Christ's righteousness. That is, Jesus not only paid the price for my sins, but he fulfills the law of God perfectly. Jesus loved God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. Jesus loved his neighbor as himself. Jesus loved his enemies. He gets it right all the way through. When I believe in Christ by faith, and God says you are justified, he's not only forgiving you of your sins, but he's taking the, if you like, Christ's righteousness, the jacket of Christ's perfection, and puts it over you and says, you are now righteous, you are now justified. Not just the forgiveness of sins, but you are given the perfection of Christ. That is why when my conscience eats me, when I struggle to say, am I really a Christian? I've got to take my eyes off myself. So yeah, it's all true. It's all true. But God has given me Christ's righteousness. If you want to follow this through a little bit, write down these following scriptures and I'll read them out, but write them down if you want to follow this through. It's the other, this is justification, right? That you are made right with God, not just the forgiveness of sins, but declared perfect. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, God made him, that is Jesus, who had no sin, to become sin for us, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. 1 Corinthians 1:30, it is because of God that you are in Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, redemption. In Christ, we have God's righteousness. 1 Corinthians 6:11. And that's what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with the Spirit of God. You are justified. Do you get that? You see the difference? Once God has declared you just, it's no longer about morality. It's no longer about how great or how little my faith is. It's no longer about what I think of God. If God says it's done, it's done. Martin Luther famously said, look 10 times to Jesus, but only once to yourself. 10 times to Jesus, just once to yourself. And you do have to have that one look occasionally, okay? Because the book of James that we read there, as well as all of 1 John, and even Hebrews 11, will deal with the issue of what is authentic faith and what is inauthentic faith. Because when you read the Bible, faith, again, is not just one concept. James speaks about demonic faith, okay? Even the demons believe. You got the man in the Gospels, I believe, help me with my unbelief. You got the parable of the soils, that faith only lasts for a little while sometimes. And so what we've got to do then is, yes, let's look once to ourselves and ask the question, do I have authentic faith or do I pretend faith? Because many in the early church, again, will say, if it's my faith alone, hey, guess what? I can go on sinning. The Roman Catholic Church, when they heard this doctrine by faith alone, they sent out a statement saying that anyone who says by faith alone, let that person be an anathema. Okay? So if you take the logic of faith alone to its extreme, you can do whatever you want. But that's what the scripture says. So let me go back to James and see how he tries to deal with this issue. And, you know, heads up, it's confusing. Okay? Both James and Paul pick up on Abraham. Abraham was a Gentile when he was saved by faith alone, not by works. Okay? But then James says this about Abraham. Read him chapters 2, verses 21 and 23. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see, a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. Really important to understand the different context of these two things. Paul is talking about justification of Jew and Gentile by faith alone, not by works, Jewish law, anything else. James is talking about those who abuse faith alone and say, faith alone, I'll do whatever I want. And James is addressing that issue and says, look at Abraham. Well, Abraham, he says at one point, it's two different things, right? Seem contradictory. Abraham considered righteous for what he did. That's what it says. Two verses later, it says, Abraham believed God was credited as righteousness. Two verses. What do you do with that? Okay? And I think, he actually gives you the answer. Verse 22. It says his faith and his actions were working together. In other words, they're working in synergy. They work together. So put another way, if you say you have faith, it has to affect your life. Otherwise, it's just a mental assent. The problem being, in the early church as well, people saying, I'm justified by faith alone. Here, my body, I can go do whatever I want. So that's not authentic faith. That's just mental assent. That's just acknowledgement. But true faith actually acts out what it believes. We don't separate those two things. Again, if I've got a Toyota, I'm going to switch it over because I trust that I've got action. If I didn't believe my Toyota would start, I wouldn't put the key in, right? You've got to do something with what you say you believe in. And they're supposed to be together. So faith without works is dead, like the body without the spirit is dead. They go together. I mean, this is the massive distinction, right? So we get right. Works are not what's called meritorious. There's two ways to view works, okay? Meritorious or evidential. Sorry for those big words, but that helps me. When you think that your works help you achieve pleasure with God or pleasure from God, then that's called meritorious. So the Roman Catholic Church says that to be right with God, you've got to merit your faith with works. And so the more works, you get to the stage, you go, well, have I ever done enough? You keep doing adding works, right? As opposed to James is saying, no. My works are evidential. They're an expression of my faith. They don't merit God's reward. Just saying it's true. That's what it is. So works as a Christian come after we are justified. Think of the pattern of Egypt and Israel. What did Israel do to be saved? And who saved them? Zip, right? God did everything. How was Israel saved out of Egypt? God did it. All God's doing. It's the same with us. And what they were to do was taken out then to worship God and serve God. It's the same with us. We are taken out of the slavery of sin, and our good works are an outcome of that. So we're not saved because of good works. It wasn't as if Israel were a really good bunch of people and deserved God's salvation. No, they weren't. They, got rid of Moses. It's after we are saved to do good works. That's exactly what it says in Ephesians, which I think will be brought to us next week as well. We are God's workmanship, creating Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The good works are from God and for God. He prepares them, and he does them in advance for us to do. Really important to understand that your good works in life are not meritorious. If you go that way, then this is what you're saying to yourself. If you, by your subconscious, think that your good works justify you, you will never know if you've ever done enough. Ever. If you say you believe by faith alone and you do not have assurance that you must do more and more and more, then your faith is not in Jesus. Your faith is in your ability to please God. And if that is you, that's wrong, because you can't do enough. The Christian does works not to justify themselves, but to prove to themselves, to God and to the world, they actually do believe. Brothers and sisters, come back full circle. How is a sinner justified for our most holy God? Brothers and sisters, are you justified? You pray.